Science can't explain everything. Just because you can't see me doesn't mean I'm not here.
Thank you for joining me, everyone, and welcome to Paranormal Encounters podcast series. My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the host and the producer of this show. Sit back, grab yourself some popcorn, and let's get started.
Be careful when you whisper.
Good evening, everyone, and thanks again for joining me. Yes, let's get started. Before we finish up our part two with Mr. John Polk this evening, I need to just get out of the way some basic housekeeping as we move ahead to another exciting week ahead, where I am going to interview two individuals of a celebrity status, which will be very exciting, by the way, and very interesting. If you are interested in purchasing any of my books, go to www.paranormaluniversalpress.com. Take a look at the book covers. I would highly recommend books 9, 10, and 11, as that would give you everything you need to know about many of the experiences I have lived through in my life. If I were to purchase as a combo, I would purchase 9 and 11, which is Manifestations and also Haunted Life. Or I would purchase 10 and 11, which is Message Received and Haunted Life. Yes, there are some repetitive chapters in these books. They are my best chapters. They are my most popular. And I just don't want anyone to miss out on something I consider to be very, very interesting. Anyway, on that note, we need to get back and finish up an interview here. So sit back, take your time tonight in really listening to part two, because part two is going to be something a little bit different, and I know you're going to enjoy it. Anyway, hang on, here we go.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
Work on some energy that I want to, how about, put in a different place. You know, so, you know, you don't want to use negative terms. So, I would like for this energy to just relocate. And so, her and her friend came to my home, and she had a dream catcher. She brought it was like a staff with a dream catcher on the top, mm-hmm. and she propped it up against my couch. And so she's like, "Well, let's meditate." So, what do? We sit down on the couches, chairs, relax, meditate, and all of a sudden the dream catcher falls on the floor. Hmm. There was no way that dream catcher should have fallen on the floor based on the way that she propped it up. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it falls on the floor, and then she says she sees this group of baby wolves come around me, and they're like snuggling against my legs, and they're all over me, and I couldn't see them, of course, but she saw them. And my guardian protector, one of them, is White Wolf, and she attention that one of my guardian protectors is named White Wolf. And anyway, so we're going through this whole thing, and then she finds this entity that I would very much like to move away from in my life. I knew that it existed, or she existed, and she said she could see her. And that she said, this is the most powerful entity I've ever seen in my entire life. And she's like, and she affects me in my love life also. And she's like, she's incredibly powerful, and she will not leave you. Hmm. And I was telling her, she's like, you know, when John dies, he's going to go to light, and you're still going to be stuck in limbo. So we were trying to get her to go to the light, and she just would not go to the light. Mm. And then her friend goes to the bathroom, and when she comes back from the bathroom, she walks back into my living room and falls on the floor, and she cannot breathe. Mm. She cannot breathe, and she was being strangled by this entity, in effect. Next thing you know, they're in the emergency room. I'm serious. They're in the emergency room. And according to this lady, she said she saw White Wolf pull this entity off of her friend and save her from strangling her to death. Hmm. And I'm like, are you freaking kidding me?
No.
And then she's like, no, I'm not kidding you at all. And so after that whole thing, I tried to, you know, communicate with them, and eventually they never, ever talked to me ever again.
No.
So that happened in my home, where this woman was in the ICU dying. So one thing a lot of people don't really realize is that not all the thoughts that you think are your own, and that spirits can affect you. They can kill you if you leave yourself vulnerable. And then it's not even your fault if you leave yourself vulnerable or not, because you don't even know what's even happening to you. But that happened to this lady. And it was something that scared me. That scared me. To think that I could have possibly been, it wasn't even my fault, but I would have felt responsible for the rest of my life if this lady had died in my home.
Didn't you say that your protector by the name of White Wolf is the one that kind of came to save the day here, or intervened? Was this entity, did they think it was demonic, or what do you think this thing was that was taken, that this thing took off of her?
So, I hate to even bring it up, but, well, since we're going there, she gave her name. Her name was Elizabeth, and from what I understand, that Elizabeth and I were lovers in a past lifetime, and let's just use the phrase, I was not good to her. Mm. I don't know what it did. Probably was it something physical? Probably, I don't know. But I was not good to her, and that she kind of haunts me.
Mm.
And follows me around and affects my love life. Anyway, trust me, you know, you start dating a girl, this story doesn't go over well at all with anybody start to try to date. So I don't ever talk about it. And I've pretty much gotten to the point where I don't think she affects me at least that much anymore, but she certainly did back in the day.
As an attachment, which I'm going to go to the, because I've had Reiki done twice now. One time, this one gal, the first one I ever had Reiki done by, she noticed that I had some really stubborn attachment, and she said, boy, this one's a really tough one, it won't get off you, because I was having a lot of negative stuff happening, and I just was so sick of it and so tired of it. And I went in, and she said, well, there, I had actually two people from San Diego. This woman who was very talented and taking attachments off of people took 16 of them off of me while living in this house. And I thought at first, oh, how bizarre, how quirky. That was until I bent up during the middle of the night, and my mouth went wide open, and I started vomiting out tons and tons and tons of air. And the next day I had the interview with the brother of this woman. He had told me that when this was going to happen, I would not, you know, I wouldn't know when it was going to happen, but I would know when it happened. So what's really interesting, listeners, is that the stuff that John is saying, I mean, you have to live your life and you have to go on with it. And then when we have a bad day, a lot of times we say, oh, I just had a bad, crappy day, you know. But there are things that do affect a person. And I, by the way, John, when I'm in Las Vegas all the time and I'm usually there writing, and sometimes I'm there writing in my books by myself, I do have a lot of depressed, negative stuff happening in my rooms. And yes, I agree with you. Sometimes it's not your own thoughts. They, whatever it is or whatever haunts a person or whatever gets inside of you or whatever, can really, really do a whizzy if you don't recognize it. So these gals, you say they, well, to this day, you're in Sedona now, but no more contact with either of these gals. Is that my understanding?
Yeah. And, you know, it's been a long time. It's been probably 20 years or so.
Well, so, it's certainly not something you bring up on a date, you know, over a glass of champagne. Oh, by the way, someone's going to kill you if you stay with me. But it is difficult, because the thing is that we want to live peaceful lives. We want to be as happy as we can be. I don't think there's anyone that's going to deny what I just said here about wanting to be. And I just gave the big old lecture a little bit on my previous show about being grateful. And there are days I wake up and I say, I'm grateful. And then as my day goes along, it's crap, you know, and it's just like, but I said I was grateful this morning, you know. And you try to be as positive and you try to be as even keeled as you can, but it doesn't always work that way. So now that you, let's go into a little bit about, so you've been having these experiences with the paranormal, and yes, some of this energy can be really nasty, and I agree to that. And some people say, oh, it's demonic, and it might be demonic. I mean, we don't ever know who we're tussling with. We can't ever see it, you know. Let's talk a little bit about your UFO encounters and experiences, because that's interesting too. So go back in time, and when was the first time that you believe you saw or had an encounter or visitation with something from the UFO nature, and what was that?
Okay, so I was probably 16 years old, and we had moved to a condo on the ocean, and it was just as surreal as you could imagine. It was a three-story condo. We lived in the penthouse suite. Just, it was like something out of a movie. And one night, and I could sit up in my bed. I could sit up in my bed and look at the waves. And I grew up surfing. Anyway, but this one night, I wake up middle night, and what appeared to be the moon, which is beautiful to see over the Atlantic Ocean, it wasn't the moon, but it looked like the moon. And as I looked at it closer, it got closer to me, and it got closer to me, and it got closer to me. And then next thing I know, I black out, and then I come back, and I see three gray aliens sitting on the balcony, and they're kind of like children at a zoo, like pushing their heads up against the glass, looking at the lions and tigers or whatever.
Yeah.
And then the next thing I know, they morph through the glass of the sliding glass doors. And now they're in my room, and there's three of them, and they're grays, and they're maybe three something feet tall, and the one in the middle is taller than the other two on either side. And I see them walk up to me while I'm in my bed, and then I black out again. And then the next thing I know, I wake up the next day. I didn't remember anything. And also, the whole story I'm telling you now, I didn't remember until years later through a regression. But anyway, so the next morning, and I do remember this part, my butt was hurting. There's something wrong with my butt, which is very common for them to do something to your, you know, your backside. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, in a day or so, it went away, and I just kind of forgot about it. But that, I believe, was one of the first abductions that I can remember, but that didn't come out until many, many years later. And right after that is when I wrote that book of poetry, Beyond Oblivion, Through the Crevices in Between.
Interesting.
So whatever they did to me, and when you get visited, it consciousness. It absolutely does. And you either make it through it or you don't. If you do make it through it, it makes you stronger and it expands your psychic abilities in ways you never thought possible.
Well, I win jackpots now, so, you know, yeah. Well, you want to go gambling with me, John, you know? I mean, yeah. I mean, but I did go through a regression, but there were a couple factors that kind of stood in the way. Number one, I was worried about what this thing was going to entail. Number two, I didn't put my full... The guy was nice. The counselor slash therapist was nice, but I just didn't put my full trust in him because I had to wear a black mask the whole time that he was bringing me down in an hour and a half. And then there was three ghosts in the room sitting on a couch, and I picked up on that right away, which I knew we weren't alone, so I was just extra paranoid. But he could not get me back far enough to see what may or may not have happened to me. But I want to ask you a little bit about these grays. So this is a description I've usually hear about before. Sometimes people are saying there's one. Oftentimes I hear there's three. And when you first noticed them sticking their face up against the glass, did it not kind of like startle you or scare you at all? Let's start with that.
You know, I think that I was kind of like in a state of stasis where I wasn't really sure what was happening. You know, I was sleeping and waking up, and so I was kind of in that fog. So it didn't really startle me. But then again, like I said, I didn't remember it happening at the time. I remembered it only through regression. So I can't exactly attest to how I felt at the time.
Yeah.
But if I had to go back and think of how I felt at the time, I don't think it startled me at all, probably because I've been visited all along and I was just starting to remember it. As I got older and as I get older, I'm starting to remember and have like these, it's almost kind of like a trailer for a movie,
mm-hmm.
you know, where you get these little clips,
mm-hmm.
these little snip clips, and then all of a sudden it turns into a trailer, and that's the way it was for me.
Have you ever had a CAT scan or an MRI for any other reason? Because once again, doctors aren't just going to perform that on you unless they have a legitimate reason. Have you ever had any of that done, and was anything like implants or anything like that ever discovered in your body?
I have not been to a doctor since 2001. And that was for a hernia. I haven't had anything like that done to me.
I'm thinking about the connection of your mom being potentially, obviously, visited and or abducted and or something happened back in the day. I think about you being born and having an unusual birth along with your brother and a highly, highly intelligent, obviously a highly intelligent family, and very gifted. And, you know, again, I can't emphasize enough that sometimes you wonder where these genetics and these genes come from or where they came from. And that's something that's fascinating. And now you're having these experiences, and you have paranormal experiences, and then you have these, you know, you started young with your UFO type of grays experiences. So move ahead on that now, John. Did you go through, or have you been through other experiences that you might recall other than that one at the age of 16?
Oh, absolutely. So one night I wake up and I can recall, and this is when I was living in Florida, I can recall being on a spaceship, as far-fetched as that sounds, and maybe it's my own mind making it up, but whatever, at least I thought I was, or I was. It's debatable, I can never prove it to anybody. But anyway, I'm on this spaceship, and I'm looking at the back of these three gray heads, and the one in the middle is the navigator, and he has this kind of halo thing on his head. And very often they are depicted with this kind of halo technological device, which is connected to their brain, and it's like a what's the word, symbiotic?
Yeah.
Symbiotic engine.
Yeah.
Where they're interfacing with the UFO, and the UFO is alive. It has consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
It does. And so I'm like, you know what? I need some proof for myself so that I know that this is real. And I look down at myself, and I'm in my underwear. And not to get personal, but I sleep in my underwear.
Mm.
So I'm in my underwear, so I know that they I know they took me while I was sleeping. And now I scratch myself as hard as I can to the point where it drew blood.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to wake up and see this scratch mark on my arm for vindication and validation that what was happening to me was real. And so the gray in the middle that had the halo on that was navigating the craft can sense me and telepathically pick up on me thinking, right? Because I didn't say anything out loud. And it walks up to me and it touches my arm where I scratched myself to the point where I was bleeding, and it healed my scratch.
Mm-hmm.
It healed my scratch, and then I woke up, and of course it was not there.
Mm-hmm.
So still, once again, I have no proof of what happened, but that was my way to try to validate it and vindicate myself on what happened. And then another time, I'm on a spaceship, and I see all these biblical figures. I see Moses, I see Noah, I see Abraham, I see the apostles, and I'm just standing with them. And in my mind, they're all Anunnaki anyway, because the Bible is the Anunnaki handbook, basically. And then I look over to my right side. I'll never forget, it was to my right side. And I see a human-looking being in front of this oval with outer space within the oval. And the outer space was in these different star configurations, which is very interesting. And whoever this individual was moving these stars around, like he was like reconfiguring a star map or something. And then he'd reconfigure these stars and kind of swipe it to the side, and a new set of stars would pop up. And he would reconfigure the stars by not touching, but just moving them around with his hand, but not touching the oval. And then he would swipe it away, he was reconfiguring the stars. And then I start to really look at this individual, and this individual looks like me. Looks just like me. And he could tell that I was staring at him, and he looks over his shoulder, and he looked just like I did when I was 19 years old. I mean, my mind just exploded. But in my mind, what he was doing is he was reconfiguring the star maps. You've heard of the term we all have of written in the stars.
Mm-hmm.
He was reconfiguring these star maps and then swiping away the next solar system and reconfiguring a new one.
Interesting.
And that was one of my higher dimensional, higher concentric multidimensional cells in what we call the quantum hologram matrix, which was the name of my show, which has been taken offline. You'll never find my show ever again because I got attacked by whoever.
Interesting. I want to go back for just a second. You mentioned something that struck a nerve. For those listeners who have purchased my book, I believe this story's in Message Received. I'm pretty sure that's the book that this is in. You brought up, now this is when you were sleeping, right? And you were going through all of this. Is that what you're, I just need to backtrack for a moment to put this back into perspective. You were sleeping at the time, but you were experiencing this whole situation. Am I correct on that? That you think that they could have taken you when you were sleeping and brought you up there? Am I correct on that?
You know, Dr. Schutz, I'm not exactly sure. I just I just remember receiving the information. I can remember seeing the visuals just as clear as watching a movie on TV.
Okay, so stop right there. Yes. Okay, so you brought up Moses and you brought up a couple of the other ones. Which ones did you bring up again, and what were their, what was the reason for them again?
Well, so I believe that I'm at least, you know, so how about this? I've had three different psychics that did not know each other, and I didn't give them, you know, when you go to a psychic, you don't want to give them any information. You want to test them to see if they're real or not.
Yeah.
But yeah, and as you should. And I did, and three different psychics told me that I was the bastard son of Abraham.
Hmm.
So I wasn't Isaac, I was not Ishmael, I was a fling, basically, cheating on his wife and had me, and I've gotten this from three different psychics. And Abraham and Moses and Noah, and Noah was the great-grandson of Enoch Anunnaki. He's the one who wrote the slave code for this planet, at least based on my research and my downloads, that came to me. I can't say that it was a dream. I don't even remember, to be quite honest with you, but I just remember it coming in through so powerfully and so compelling. It was very emotional also. And then to hear these three psychics who did not know each other, and this all happened within a few months of one another also. I was trying to get some answers, and this happened when I moved here from Florida the first time. I'm getting these answers, and it was just kind of like an affirmation, not affirmation, but confirmation that I'm connected to the Anunnaki in ways I don't understand. And
well, the reason why I asked this, again, I was trying to put my past life regression into an interesting perspective. I called it remote viewing at the time, but when I went, when I was in past life regression, the furthest this gentleman either brought me back to, or what it was comparable to, was Moses. And I wrote a whole chapter on my past life regression, and that I titled it, I Am Moses. And what was interesting about that whole story is that I saw Moses lying on the table, like someone around like 16 years old or maybe a little older standing by him or whoever it was as he was dying, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I saw the room. I saw the fire, I saw the brick, I saw the stone, and then, as odd as this sounds, the very next day I was sitting there watching television, and this scene came up in, like, I don't know, it was one of these channel history shows or something or whatever, and sure enough is what I saw was literally spitting image, on the TV. There's Moses, there's the exact fire that I saw, there's the kid standing next to him, there's the room, and it matched everything that I saw in my my past life regression. And I found that interesting. I called it remote viewing because when I was younger, I had I didn't know this at the time, but I always could I would dream about situations that were terrible tragedies, and they would be shown on television the next day, and I always passed it as being coincidence, or I was causing it, one of the two. But when you brought up Moses, I'm like, I don't know if there was any other answer that was trying to be given to me during that past life regression, but I just I went really deep into a depression going through that, and that's exactly what I saw, was Moses and me being Moses and all that. So that's interesting. It may not have any association at all with what you're talking about, but I find it to be a very odd similarity. Very odd. Let's see. Do you recall at all having, now you do a number of UFO tours, and of course you show people and try to educate them on what you see in the skies. And I'm just sorry that my husband and I didn't do the UFO gig with you when we were there, but we did do it with another individual. And a lot of satellites, of course, in the sky, and difficult to determine what is what, truthfully, and stuff, although tried to explain it very well. So did you ever see, and I suppose everyone wants to know, have you ever seen, I think you said yes, but I'm not sure, a craft at all, a UFO craft, like, other than through the night vision goggles, take that out of the equation. People in California and the area that you're in, always people do report seeing crafts. Have you ever seen a craft? Let's start with that.
Absolutely, I have. So it was a number of years ago, and I could tell you a bunch of stories like this without the night vision goggles, but it was a number of years ago, and I had this incredibly beautiful relationship. Her ex-husband would do everything in his power to destroy our time together. And so it was New Year's Eve, 6 years ago or something like that. I was still in Florida. And I'm home, and I'm by myself, and I'm crying because I thought I was going to be with her, and I was incredibly distraught and disappointed. And there's fireworks everywhere. And I see this, Battlestar Galactica spacecraft fly right over my house. It was it was triangular shaped, but it was three tiers, if you can picture that, a big triangle, and then above that a smaller triangle, and then above that a smaller triangle. And it flew right over my house. And the best time for UFOs to fly right over a populated city is during fireworks, because it's really easy to dismiss it as fireworks. And it flew right over my house. And it was very low flying, and I saw it clear as day, and it was incredibly profound. And then another time, I'm on my back porch, and this is in Florida, and I see this massive cigar-shaped craft fly maybe 50 feet over my house, and I'm trying to get up out of my chair to go get my camera, and I could not get up out of my chair. I couldn't get out of my chair. I could move my body, but my butt was stuck in the chair. And it was too weird. And I black out, and then I wake up, and then next thing I know, it's flying the opposite way away from me, right over my house again. And then on June 8th of last year, one of my best friends who bought all that property out by Bradshaw Ranch, it was me and him and his administrative assistant. They were staying with me at the time. We're working on a project. And I used to be the karaoke guy at the biggest bar in town right next to my house. And I'm trying to take a nap, and I can't sleep. And I look at my phone, and I got 7 messages from all my best friends. They're like, "Are you seeing this right now?" And I walk outside, and I see my friend and his admin pointing just straight up into the sky. We see this massive, massive UFO during the day fly right over my house. And this is in Sedona now. It flew right down 89A, which is the main road in Sedona. It was changing shape. It was changing color. Everybody in town saw it. Everybody saw it. I've got a picture of it also. It was just unbelievable.
Interesting.
So, during the day. SedonaWest.com. We talked about that on one of our videos that we had shot also just recently.
Can you determine what is our government craft versus something from outer space? Are you able to determine that now, or are you on the fence once in a while about what is or is not ours?
Brilliant question, Dr. Shutt. So what I always ask people when they talk about this, I say, is our government experimenting with some kind of esoteric alien technology via aircraft? And pretty much everybody says yes. And then I ask, well, if they're doing that, which we all know that they are, okay, are they trying to be secretive and clandestine about it? And most of the time people will say yes. And it's like, well, take a step backwards. if you said yes, which you just did, why are they flying over Sedona? There's like 7 or 8 different UFO companies that are videotaping this stuff every night. Why would they fly over us in a residential area? It doesn't make any sense.
Confusion.
Well, and however, you know, and so here's the other argument. It may be to the point where they really don't even care anymore.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying?
That's why I say confusion. Correct. That's right.
And my built-in excuse for everything is that it's a UFO. It's unidentified.
Right.
Can I tell you what it is? No.
No.
I can't. So you can hold me to that. Because no. I don't know. And you don't know either.
No. Well, the thing is, I went to a conference a couple years ago in Las Vegas, and this is where I... Actually, my whole world changed at this conference, because when I stood up and asked a question about why I was having all these unusual things happen to me and why I was affecting things and how could I tell the difference between if it was me or paranormal and stuff, the gentleman who is the expert on energy and all this sort of thing, he looked right at me and he had said that he has many people in his office every day with the exact same thing, and he says, how do you not know that you haven't been abducted, and this is the, you know, these extra abilities that you have are the result of that, and they erased your memory. Well, I will never, ever, ever be able to answer that, and I still won't be able to answer whose handprint that was on my body, but one of the gentlemen there was an expert from the government who was talking about that there were about 57 to 100 different alien type of species. Where they got that from, do not ask me. I do not know. I'm just reporting what he had said. And that he said that a lot of the times, too, there is a lot of this experimental stuff going on out there with our government. Yep, you're onto something with they don't care, because the thing is it unidentified? Yeah, it's not like we're all running around in our spaceships these days. But he did also say, which was very kind of interesting, he said there's a very small percentage out there that are like from outer space, and the rest of them are probably ours, and that they're showing the stuff that they're showing us on television or showing us wherever more than likely is ours, but they're trying to add the confusion to it just to kind of still stay behind the scenes, because there's nobody that I know of personally that can literally 100% tell you when something whizzes by, whether it's something from outer space or whether it's something from of our own making. And when you brought up the grays at your window, you know, smashing their faces against the glass kind of thing, this is not the first time I've heard of aliens showing up in somebody's room. You had 3. This other gentleman that I barely know, but he talked about his experience. He had 1, and it was very tall, probably around 7 to 7.5 tall and thin and all that. So people are having a variety of experiences. Where this stuff is coming from, one of the things I do know, personally, I wouldn't want to mess with a UFO or anything like that, because honestly, I don't know if we're even capable of defending ourselves. What have you heard regarding that, just that you can share? Is that kind of the same attitude that you're hearing, is don't mess with them because we don't know exactly what's going to happen next? What have you heard?
I'm glad you brought that up. So a friend of mine named Shelley, she owns a spirit center, if you want to call it that, down the street from where I live. And her and one of her business partners want to start doing a CE5, and they want me to teach it. And what I was telling them is that I can do what you call a galactivation on people. Certain people, I can do it with them on the phone. I'd rather do it in person, of course, but certain people I can do it with on the phone, and I've done that before, and I have hundreds of people that will come out and say that it's real what I do. But here's the scary thing about it, is that now you're going to see stuff. You're going to see stuff more than maybe even that you want to. fearful, then you're going to bring in the fear, and you're going to get attacked because I'm going to go activate you. And now all of a sudden you're going to be able to see spirits. You're going to be able to see UFOs. And you really have to know what you're getting yourself into. Because the best way to be able to help somebody to see UFOs is to help them to see spirits. So if you can see spirits, well, then you can more easily see UFOs. But when you do that, there's a hard learning curve that you have to go through. It's not like you're going to just graduate at the top after a few sessions with me. And so we're going to start doing these CE5s, but I will literally have people sign waivers that they cannot sue me for galactivating them. Because they're very, very, very prone to getting attacked because they don't know what they're doing yet. I mean, what I do, I've been doing for many, many decades. And I know how to protect myself. And trust you me, when I moved to Sedona, I was getting attacked hard. I was getting attacked very, very violently hard. I was bleeding everywhere. It was bad. I literally fled from Sedona at one time. And what was happening to me is that the military labs abductees because they want to do research and learn what's happening to us. It's not an experiment. It's a program. They've been doing it for a long time. And through a regression, I saw that the my labs were being run here by reptilians. And I had this vivid, scary, scary reenactment go through my mind through a regression of what they were doing to me and what led to all this bleeding that I had gone through for years. So, you know, if you want to get galactivated, it's the best thing that could possibly happen to you. Don't expect that it's going to be all roses and cherries and everything else. You're going to have to go through an incredible spiritual maturation and learning curve. But once you get through it, it's the best thing that could ever happen to you in your life. So it's just like anything else. You know, you got to start as an infant and then mature into adulthood. And I thought I knew what I was doing. And then I moved here and I had to start all over again.
Can you explain to people what CE5 is?
Okay, so Alan Hynek, he was a scientist and a researcher, and he was a skeptic. He's a skeptic for the whole UFO phenomenon, and he started to research it. And the more he researched it, you know, and he dug into the whole abduction thing and, you know, interviewed abductees, and he just was really just trying to, you know, be and apply the scientific method appropriately and properly, and he did. And, you know, after X amount of time doing it, he's like, you know what, these people, they're not delusional, they're not making this up. So he came up with the CE1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. So CE1 is that you think you saw a ghost, or you think you saw a craft. And then CE2 is that you saw a craft. And then CE3 is that it got really close to you. And then now you're like, okay, I know I saw something. You know, it's definitive in my mind, I saw something, whether I can explain it to myself or anybody else or not. And then CE4 is when you get visited or taken. I don't like the word abduction, but so they visited you and they took you somewhere. And then CE5 is where you communicate with them telepathically. So one of my very best friends, he owns ScenicSedonaTours.com, and I helped him put the tour together a couple years ago. And he calls me the other night, and he is like, hey man, I have a date with me. Is it okay if we come by for UFO? And I'm like, you know what? I don't have anybody coming over tonight. Not paid clients. I have this other guy and this girl coming over, but just come over. I'm doing a freebie tonight. So he comes over with his date, and then this other guy who I just met, he brought over another person, whatever, and we're on my front porch. We're doing it from my front yard. And we start to talk to them. We see things flying over my house, like we always do, weather permitting. And I'm like, let's talk to them. Don't tell them what to do, but ask them what to do. Ask them permission to see them in the first place and say, I love you. I love you. And then we ask basic things. can you power up? And power up means can you flash? Or can you vanish? And vanish just simply means vanish. And or can you change directions? So we're all out there and we're all doing it. We're all asking them, not telling them what to do. And these things were powering up and they were vanishing and changing direction. And so I tell my buddy, who I work for, and his date and these other two people, I'm like, think about what just happened. You have to stop and think about what just happened. We asked this thing, whatever it was, to flash, and it flashed. So would military flash for you? Probably not. Could they even hear us telepathically? Yeah, maybe. Maybe they have the technology to do it. Maybe they don't. And I said, allow this to soak in. You have to allow this to soak in. That we just had a CE5 event where we communicated with them telepathically, because figured they're perhaps 1,000 miles away or whatever. We're using the night vision goggles, which are 50,000 times the natural magnification of the human eye alone. You know, can they hear us this far away? No. And we're shooting lasers at them, but the lasers only go 10 miles. I'm like, allow it to soak in. You just had a CE5 event. And CE5 is when you communicate with them telepathically.
Interesting. Wow. Interesting stuff here, John. I'm just like, I think to myself going, holy crap, John. I mean, it's just, well, the thing is, the closest I've come is I did have in a nightmare, I guess. Never had it before, never had it since, but only one time I did have something that looked like a human body in one of my dreams. And when they turned, and I thought it was my husband's, actually niece. I think I've said on other shows, cousin or something. It was actually the niece that I really meant. When she turned around, she looked like she was a praying mantis being with a, with a COVID mask on. And I actually have a chapter that's part of the, chapter. I do need to, I'm so glad you brought up C1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 and what they were, because now I have to go back to that chapter and see what I wrote about CE5 and just probably update it and revise it. But I woke up in a sweat. My heart was beating 100 miles a minute. I said, what the hell was that? That's what I said out loud. And I said, I don't ever, ever want to dream of anything like that again. And I have no idea why it came to me like that night or whatever. But I'm telling you, whatever that handprint was that ended up on my body, it was upside down, crooked finger, and elongated. That to me, I honest to God, well, first of all, it wasn't my own hand, and it stayed on for about 3 hours. But whatever it is or was or whoever it was, I will never know. I just keep looking for people like, did you ever have any handprints on you? John, have you ever had any handprints on your body?
I can honestly say no, at least nothing that I recognize. You did bring up implants, so I have one in my leg. I have one in my leg, and I took a picture of it. So one day, I'm going to work, and my boss at the time was like, John, have you been getting visited? I'm like, yes. And she's like, yes, I have too. Yes, I have too. So we're back and forth. Yes, 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 yes. We both did. And so I literally, this is too funny, I'm going to do UFO for her, and I pull my pants down and take a picture of my left thigh, and there's this rhombus-shaped whatever anomaly on my leg, and the hair on my leg was lasered off. It was lasered off, and I took a picture of this, and you look to the left of that object in my leg, and there's, you know, just hairy leg like any guy would have, and then you go to the right of that hairy area, and then the hair was not there. And I can remember being in the shower that day, and I'm looking down at my leg in the shower, and I'm like, where'd that bald spot come from on my leg? And then I look a little closer, and I can see this rhombus-shaped whatever in my leg. So a rhombus is like a square, but like a square that's kind of slanted one side or another. And anyway, I took a picture of it, and I showed it to my boss, and I'm like, look what they did to me. And then to this day, the hair is not growing back yet either. Hmm. Whatever they did to me, it's growing back some, but it, something happened. You know, just one day you wake up, you got this bald spot on a hairy leg. You know, it's like, how did that even happen?
That to me is scary because, you can't go to the doctor and go, is there something embedded in my leg that you need to dig out? Because I also hear, too, now that a lot of these things that they're implanting, they're kind of encased in something that is that wouldn't necessarily show unless there was some really quirky operation that happened or whatever or whatever, and then they might see something and they might dig it out that way. But they're getting a little bit smarter as to how they're doing implants now too. So, or whichever species that likes to do that. And by the way, I've heard of this thing with the reptilians. And the first time I did hear of this is I did hear that they were significant in some areas. Now, this is not to scare people, and just don't sit here and go, oh, we can't go there because, you know, this is what I heard on the program. But I did hear of some of these stories happening in Arizona and all over Arizona, and some of these down by Phoenix, down by Tucson, down probably where you're at, in the Sedona area. I've been hearing about this stuff, but you know, I've run into one black-eyed teen a year ago, and a woman I work with had an encounter with a black-eyed boy about age 17 a year before that, and terrified her to death, and you know, and stuff like that. I mean, these things show up all over the place, and we don't always know what we're dealing with when it involves even hybrids. You know, how do you know? How can you tell? I mean, it's difficult. It's difficult to tell. So, wow. Well, John, I will tell you, you've done a marathon here tonight. So we're going to, obviously this is a part one and a part two-er. So what I want to do as we end this tonight with you is please tell everybody a little bit about your tours and what's going on with this Bradshaw, Sedona West, and just information if they want to get a hold of you in any way, how they do that. So I'm just going to give the phone to you. Go ahead.
Okay, so I'm Reverend John Polk. I'm an international metaphysical minister out of the University of Sedona. You can reach me, and a lot of people don't do this, but I'll just give you my phone number. It's 407-924-8857. It's an Orlando number, so don't let it throw you off. I do live in Sedona, Arizona, with an Orlando number. I have very much a makeshift website, which is under construction, and it's johnpolktours.com. You can reach me also via email at jpolktours.com, and I work with one of my best friends through scenicsedonatours.com and sedonawest.com with one of my other business colleagues. And if you want to go on any kind of private tour, I have a big truck. I can take us on any kind of tour you can think of. I can take us on UFO, ghost, vortex tour, history tour, a scenic drive tour, anything and all of the above. And please contact me directly and, use Dr. Schutt's name and you'll get a discount as well.
Oh, my goodness. My first discount coupon show. All right. Good job there, John. I love you. Well, you know, you're making me excited to come out there again, but I don't know if I picked up an attachment the last time I was not just in your area, but somewhere. I was at the Drome Hotel. So, you know, whatever I brought home with me, I don't know. I'm still thinking I've got something hanging about me that's not very friendly. So, but yes, if you're ever going out to Sedona or just need to talk with John, keep in mind that, you know, John can't always jump on the phone with you immediately, but I suppose you could leave him a text message. That would be nice. And I will post everything, John, in the show notes, and then that way they'll see it once again. So Thank you so very, very much for being on the show. We look forward to talking with you in the future just to see how everything is going. So thank you, John.
Thank you, Dr. Schutz, and what an honor and privilege to be on your show.
No problem. We'll talk to you again. Thank you. Thanks again, John. I will be posting all of his information in the show notes. Again, feel free to contact him. Feel free to look into SedonaWest.com. That's a very interesting website. It looks to me like they've got a lot of fun activities at that. I still want to call it a resort, but I'm not quite sure if that's really the right name, but there's so much to do there that you almost feel like it is. Well, on that note, take care. Thank you so much for listening to Paranormal Encounters podcast series. And as usual, I hope to continue to bring you very interesting guests in the future. And keep listening, because as they say, let's end our part two with Mr. John Polk. Good night.
Thank you for joining us this evening. Dr. Schutz welcomes your emails and paranormal stories. Visit her website at www.paranormaluniversalpress.com for contact information, or go to amazon.com to view her books, searching under Paranormal Encounters. Thanks for listening. Take care. And until next time,
be careful what you wish for.
The script, vocal talent, and music compositions in this podcast program are copyrighted. As a disclaimer, this podcast episode or parts thereof may not be reproduced, reposted, or transmitted in any form without the express permission from the producer and company, Paranormal Universal Press, LLC, or Para-X Radio Network. Any opinion or claim made in any podcast episode by the host or guest does not necessarily represent the viewpoints of Paranormal Universal Press, LLC, Para-X Radio Network, or its sponsors. Properties mentioned in any podcast are publicly known to be haunted or have been discovered to have unexplained occurrences. If you are a ghost seeker, please take precautions and respect people's properties by not trespassing.